Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
One knee, confidently, pop open the box and know she's going to say yes, and then she's going to be in love with the ring. And that happens also, so we've got you covered.
Makes sense, Howie.
Huge bridal sale going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free financing, 4 locations. See us online at rijewelers.com.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Hey, I'm Luke Thomas, along with my co-host, Brian Campbell. Morning Combat brings you an entertaining and informative look at MMA and boxing. The biggest fight you can make right now, well, that's Jorge Masvidal and Conor McGregor. He's already got the Khabib one in the bag. You go and you beat Jorge Masvidal, dude, the world at that point, truly your
oyster.
He can
get the title shot in any division he wants.
He can't get it right now against Kamaru. He can't.
Yeah, he could.
Morning Combat with a K, radio.com, Mondays.
Tell them Big Luke sent you.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
All right, the 12 noon code word is KIND. K-I-N-D. You can text the word KIND. KIND to 72881. You have 60 minutes to do so, and you can win $1,000. We had a winner earlier this week right here in Memphis. You'll be the next one. Text the word KIND. KIND. And by the way, this is the last day we're doing this, so we're having code words at the top of every hour today until 4 o'clock. That'll be our last code word. KIND is the code word this hour, and if you ever miss a word, just simply go back on that rewind feature at radio.com. You can rewind and actually go back and get the word. And we got another word for you coming up here on the Jason and John Show at 1 o'clock.
Sure, Memphians love up on Jay Smooth, a.k.a. Jason Smith, because of his vocal stylings and because he's the Kango Kid.
Patty Pumpin' the Kango Kid.
But you can always love up on Jason on sports. Weekdays on the Jason and John Show. Feeling the love from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Guess what? The Grizzlies games are now on 92.9 FM ESPN via the radio.com app. That's easy. Get your Grizz on 92.9 FM.
No homeowner wants to deal with a damp or wet basement or crawl space, which is why Redeemers Group provides the best basement and crawl space waterproofing solutions available. Our experts know how to identify the cause of your wet basement or crawl space, musty smells, and mold problems, and can provide you with a high-quality waterproofing system that will eliminate your problems. Redeemers Group is your basement, crawl space, and foundation specialist. Don't forget, if you have foundation damage, cracked floors, or bowing walls, visit RedeemersGroup.com or call 1-833-584-1049 for a free estimate today.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's a dreamy, wished it on a genie. I got fans finally, and she wanted me.
Sean Salisbury going to join us at 12:25. There's a rather big game on Sunday. Chiefs 49ers. We will break that down with our man Sean at 12:25. But right now, let's do the rundown.
The rundown is presented by City Auto.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, so everybody breathed a sigh of relief on Wednesday. Memphis won the game against UCF. They did not lose to UCF, which would have been just absolutely catastrophic. They did get the win, 59-57 in Orlando. Penny Hardaway thanked God after the win. And even though, you know, I heard Gary make this point, even though it was a you know, totally off the radar, off the grid kind of game between two unranked teams, Penny Hardaway desperately needed that win, or at least to not lose it, because people in Memphis would have absolutely collectively lost their minds. And here's the other reality of it, too. You know, 2 weeks ago, this was a top 10 team without James Wiseman. I think people kind of forget that. Like, this is a team that had still made its way into the top 10 without James. And even though that's the case, here we are, you know, basically into February, and they got work to do. They got work to do to really solidify their standing in the NCAA tournament. And we're not talking about, you know, winning the AAC tournament. Anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about at large. We're talking about, can you feel comfortable on Selection Sunday, or are you going to have to sweat it out? You know, I would rather, if I'm Memphis, I would rather not have to sweat it out.
Yeah.
I would rather just know I'm in, you know. And I don't know that they do. Now, most brackets right now have them in, whether it's a play-in game, whether it's a 10 seed, 11 seed, but they're by no means comfortable, right? They're by no means comfortably in there. So I thought about it. I was like, okay, what does Memphis need? What does Memphis need to secure that at-large berth, the first one since 2013, 2014? It actually came up with a couple of things. So let's go through them.
Okay.
Obviously, before we get into it, we know they need to win games, okay? That's understood. We know
win.
They need to win games.
Win.
But again, let's take a deeper look, right? Let's take a deeper look.
Okay.
One thing, and I think perhaps the most important thing that Memphis needs, mm-hmm. is for Boogie to be that dude. You know, when he committed to Memphis, you know, he was revered as this great scorer, as this great shooter. You know, I remember he won the Ball His Life 3-point contest against, I believe it was Trey Mann, and he's mm-hmm. talking about how, you know, I came out of the mud. He's got the belt on. Like, this is a kid who had such a swagger about him, right?
Yep.
He had such a swagger about him before he came to Memphis that it almost feels like that is what his game depends on. Is his swag and sort of the way that he carries himself, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's how he is. Unfortunately, you know, really since he's gotten here, and I don't know if it's a product of just being far away from home. You know, I talk to people close to Boogie, and I mean, this is a San Diego kid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
this is a different deal.
Yeah, like he's
long way away.
He's never really been away from family.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I think that's a big part of it for these kids. I mean, you're a long way away from home. It ain't like mom and grandpa and grandma could just drive to Memphis.
I will speak about this because I went away to college, not as far as Boogie is going away from California to, you know, Memphis, but I went in Northern Illinois, which was, you know, 6 hours away from where I grew up, and then I went to school in Las Vegas for graduate school, and I'll say that I think that's something that is why juniors and seniors, it gets easier, because that first year, one of the things they tell the parents, they say, stay away from your kid for a month.
Yep.
Don't come to the college for a month. Because
let them kind of settle down. And
I think that's really good advice for parents, because that's doesn't make them, like, miss you more when you have to leave that second go-around if you're there a week or 2 weeks
for
or
sure.
3 weeks. So I think this is one of the reasons why, as a junior or senior, when especially if you go away to college, especially for an athlete, like, I can see why it's a big advantage being a junior or senior in college, you know, as opposed to somebody like Boogie.
Well, exactly. And so I think the confidence has kind of, you know, been hit or miss with him. And the good development for Memphis, and again, we're talking about what Memphis needs to secure and mm-hmm. lock down that at-large berth. And it really starts with Boogie, because I think when you look up and down the roster, he is probably the guy more than anybody else where it feels like there's still something left to tap into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's still some potential that hasn't been realized with him yet. Like, because he started his senior year in high school by scoring 51 points.
The top 30 player.
Like, you cannot, I don't care where you play.
Right.
You cannot be a bad basketball player and score 51 points.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, doesn't matter if you're a senior in high school.
Whether you play in farmland, rural Illinois,
sure. No, you're right.
Or whether you play
it
doesn't
I
matter,
get it.
You know?
I get it, yeah.
So I feel like there's more there to be tapped into with
it
him.
Has to. It actually has to.
Oh, there's no question. Like, they started him against UCF, obviously, and that was actually, he had 14 points, a season high, 34 minutes. That's the first time that he has scored 10 points or more in back-to-back games since November 28th and December 3rd.
So he needs to be averaging 13, 14 points.
Well, that's what you're kind of depending on.
That's what you have to have.
You know, even without James, with James, whatever, like you were accounting for a double-digit score in Boogie Ellis. So, listen, I don't know if you guys have seen it watching him, but I've kind of seen a change in him. Like, I see a guy who's, you know, who's like, all right, my family's not here.
Yeah.
I'm not in San Diego anymore. I'm in Memphis. This is my situation. This is my reality. I got to buck up, and I got to be the player that I know I can be. Well, and it feels like the last two games, you've gotten that.
Who was it yesterday or the day before that said that they don't think he's a point guard? Somebody said that on your show. I actually think he can be a point guard. I think if you've got to figure out whatever it takes, whether it's taking the ball up the court, Like, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing for him to bring the ball up.
I don't care what you call him. I just think he's a kid that needs to be empowered.
Right.
I don't care if you call him point guard, point guard, point four.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, like I
figure it out.
We're in an age now in basketball where it's positionless.
Yeah.
Just tell Boogie, like, go be yourself. Just go be who we know you can be, because it's the easiest pathway. It's the easiest path through to the NCAA tournament. Okay, so Boogie to be Boogie.
There's one.
Memphis needs to be that.
Boogity.
Two, continuity. And again, we talked a little bit about this with Aki. When James Wiseman, who again is the centerpiece, who is the fulcrum, who is the focus and everything that you've sort of built this thing around and sold this thing around, when he leaves the team, there is no question that it's going to change the way you play. It's going to change the things you do, your game plan offensively and defensively. I'm sympathetic to that. I'm empathetic to that. But at the same time, Memphis has not really ever had James Wiseman. They just haven't. He didn't play in the Bahamas. He was there, but he didn't play, right? He didn't ever practice. He probably put like three practices together, okay? So it's not like you had all these elaborate practices where James Wiseman, you saw everything. He didn't really practice all that much. And he only played in three games. And granted, when he played in those three games, he was absolutely awesome. Right. He was unstoppable. I mean, he was a 20-10 guy. Yeah. That's what you're missing right now. There's no doubt about it. However,
you never really had him.
You never had him, and he hasn't been played since early November. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's those days are over.
Yeah.
And at some point, and maybe that time is right now, but at some point, if you're Penny Hardaway, you have got to settle on something. You have got to settle on your best five. You've got to settle on a rotation, and you've got to commit to it, because I'm just telling you, with freshmen and sophomores, when you sort of yo-yo their playing time and you're going to play 20 minutes this game, you're going to play 8 this game, I mean, it's impossible for these guys to know what they're supposed to do. I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
And I know Penny understands that. He's played the game at the highest level. But I think now it's high time.
Stick with the rotation.
The starting lineup on Wednesday night, it seemed to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it honestly saved their season.
It did.
Boogie had 14. Lance Thomas had 20. We talked about it. I bet it came out of nowhere.
Thomas game. Yeah.
It was the most random performance perhaps ever in the history of Memphis basketball. And so that seemed to work.
Yeah.
Like, you empowered Boogie, you empowered Lance, and they got the road win. So as we're now in February, I think it's past time to settle on that rotation, on that lineup, because again, you'd have to have, going into March and these important conference games, you need Boogie to know what he's supposed to do. You need Lester knowing what he's exactly supposed to do every single night. Not questioning, not looking at coach, like, where am I supposed to be? You're supposed to know those things by now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, to get that at large, continuity in the lineup and specifically the rotation is number two. That's what they need.
Next story.
Not the next story, but the next.
I'm sorry.
Next
item for the Tigers.
Yeah, we got four. I got four.
You have four points here.
Tyler Harris needs to play. Tyler Harris is a play. Now, a lot of people, will point to his size and his lack of defense, but I actually sort of took a deeper look into this. Tyler Harris was the reason why they didn't lose on the road at South Florida. He had 17 points, and since then, he has scored 12 points over the last four games, and he played a season-low 8 minutes against the Knights on Wednesday. Tyler Harris has to be on the floor because – even though just pretty much like everything else this season, the reality hasn't matched the expectations.
Sure.
There are at least three guys on this team who you would classify as shooters. That's Boogie, that's Lester, and that's Tyler. Tyler Harris has the most three-point attempts on the team. He's shooting 34%, which is actually
up from
last year, which is when he broke the record.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when in games that Tyler Harris plays 23 minutes or more, Tigers are 9-1. When he doesn't play 23 minutes or more, we know the Tigers are what? They're 6-4. So, they're a better team when Tyler Harris is on the floor. And I was talking to Jeff Calkins about this. He asked me, can Boogie and Tyler play together? Absolutely they can play together.
Sure.
You just put Boogie on the ball. That's what he wants. That's where he has been at his best. Boogie off the ball has not really worked. Tyler off the ball is where he's at his best. So I'm not saying Tyler Harris has a start. I'm just saying he's got to get minutes because that's how he can, he's going to keep defenses honest with his shooting ability. And again, the numbers bear out. I don't know if this is anecdotal, empirical. I don't know if it's causation, correlation, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Memphis is 9-1 when he plays lots of minutes.
Okay.
And they're 6-4 when he doesn't. Okay. So I like 9-1 better than 6-4, don't you?
I I'm surprised at that stat. But I think part of my problem is you've got two really short guards on this team, and you need Boogie to perform. And so it's like you'd love to combine what Alex Lomax brings on defense, because I'm looking at his, like, he leads the team in steals. You know, he's like averaging, like, he's right below. So Alo's got 3.7 steals a game. If you could combine those two players, it would be great.
Oh, exactly. No, it would be
good. You can't do that, obviously.
But again, I mean, I think Alo is enough of a team guy to where he will just play whatever role you ask him to play.
What like, do you like that. Alo playing alongside Tyler?
Well, I mean, the best lineup, like the best lineup statistically, has Tyler and Alo out there.
Right.
Like, but again, that lineup just doesn't play enough to know like if sure. it's if that's real or not.
Yeah.
But I think Tyler needs to play. I mean, okay. I think that would help. And then the last thing.
Here's your third one.
And this is and this is probably the toughest one to swallow for okay. For the University of Memphis. But they need Tennessee and
win games.
NC State yeah. to kind of get their lives together, right? I mean, they right. they need Tennessee to stay in the top, I believe, top 75 yeah. in the net rankings, because that's their only quad one win right now. If you look across
SMU, same thing.
The rest of the season. Well, SMU is just not a good team. You know, that is going to be a bad loss no matter what. SMU got absolutely throttled by Cincinnati. I'm not wasting any energy hoping that SMU plays well because they're not good. They're not a good basketball team. That was a horrible loss. It was an inexplicable loss to lose the way they did to SMU. If you look across the rest of the season.
Okay.
Only four quad one and quad two opportunities left combined for the University of Memphis.
Ugh.
And unfortunately for Memphis, right now, they could add one if Houston sneaks into the top 30
yeah.
Here at home. But right now, they only have four opportunities, and all of them are on the road. And that's very difficult.
Cincinnati's the only real one. They need to win games so they can get their resume up for you.
So, you know, at this point, it's going to be a lot to ask for Memphis to get many more of these quad one and quad two wins. Like, if you look back to last season, and yeah. again, like, the records are different.
Yeah.
And the way the seasons went are different. But Indiana and Texas were left out of the NCAA tournament a year ago. And they had a combined 8 and 9 quad one and quad two wins, respectively. Okay, again, Memphis right now sitting at four. Memphis okay. sitting at four quad one and quad two wins right now. Indiana and Texas were left out with 8 and 9. Alabama, TCU, and NC State were left out last season. They each had three quad one wins. Memphis sitting here at one. Again, their records were not great, but I mean, I believe NC State was 22-12 mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
Like, do I really think Memphis's record is going to look a whole hell of a lot different than 22-12? I don't. And Memphis plays in the AAC, not the ACC. So, you have to have NC State in. You'd really like. I think NC yeah. State's sort of in the low 50s right now.
Yeah.
You would really like them. To get back into the top 50, because that's another quad one win, and those do matter come Selection Sunday. So those are what Memphis needs right now, those four things. And you know, I think some of them are realistic. I think some of them are maybe a little bit too much to ask, like Tennessee playing well. I mean, I think Tennessee is just kind of what they are at this point. They don't have Monte Turner, but listen, anything can happen. But that's how Memphis gets to the NCAA tournament as an at-large. They got UConn tomorrow here in FedEx Forum. That's going to be fun because – just Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
Like Dan Hurley is, I mean, just last year I stopped watching the game on the court and I just watched him.
It's nice that he's like a maniac on the sideline.
Oh, he's insane.
He's just fun to watch, you know, coach a game because he's yelling at the referee. He's yelling at everything. He's pulling his hair out, untucked shirt, taking the jacket off, whipping the jacket.
He's
the opposite of Penny Hardaway.
He's an insane person. And UConn is not good. Like, UConn's not a good team.
But, I mean, it's a losable team. You could lose to that team.
Well,
in the 70s in Ken Pom.
If you lose to SMU, yes. you can lose to anybody at home.
Yeah, they're 70. They're right next to SMU in Ken Pom, 73-74.
People, the one thing I always reject about, you know, when it comes to Penny Hardaway, people say, he needs to yell. He needs to do the like Dan Hurley yells constantly, okay? and he just looks like an idiot out yeah. there. And his team does not win any more games because he yells, okay?
Mm-mm.
Like, he just makes himself look foolish. So, listen, if your contention is that there are times when you'd like to see Penny kind of lose his mind,
sure.
I understand that. But, like, everything Dan Hurley – I got to imagine if you play for UConn, you're just like, dude, shut up. Like, right. you yell. We've been playing for 2 minutes. And yeah. Your jacket's already off.
You know who's I would be busting on Boogie Ellis a lot. He's supposed to be one of your best players. That's somebody I would be yelling at. Well, honestly.
He's not yelling at the other players. He's yelling at his own and the refs.
No, but I'm talking about Penny Hardaway.
Oh, for sure.
But you're talking about, because you're trying to motivate a team, I'm not suggesting I'm some coaching guru, but one of the things I watch a lot of coaches do.
Oh, you are the number one program director in America, according to Barrett Sports Media.
Selective coaching is an amazing thing. In other words, if you've got a guy on your team, I've watched these games enough that when you get on one guy, I mean, there's a response to that. Boogie Ellis should be one of your best players.
Yeah. He has been the last two games. You're just hoping that continues. So, anyway, Memphis taking on UConn tomorrow, 12 noon at FedEx Forum. Should be a good one.
Next story.
All right, Tom Brady sent everybody into a frenzy yesterday when he posted a picture. I think Tom Brady needs some attention. I think that's what this is about.
He's going to Raider Nation?
He posts this picture on his Twitter account where he's, I'm assuming this is Gillette, okay? I'm assuming this is Gillette Stadium. Okay. And it's his silhouette. He's got his nice pea coat on, and he's got his back turned, and he's looking out. And obviously the implication is that he's leaving.
Right.
He's walking out. And everybody goes nuts about it. And frankly, I think there's – like, it's Tom Brady. Everybody in the world knows that he's considering leaving New England, and he posts this picture. Is this really what somebody that was going back to New England would do?
Yeah, there's an ESPN staff writer who thinks it might be a tribute to Kobe as well. There's that, too.
That feels like a reach.
That's what I thought. I mean, there's a whole column that was posted at 9:50 at ESPN.com. Could New England – here, let me read part of it. Could it be a tribute to Kobe that went virally wrong? This is the most plausible scenario to this reporter who has covered Brady's 20-year career by sending out a dark photograph of himself walking through the tunnel at Gillette with no words attached to it. What does it mean? Only Brady can be able to clear this up. Here's hoping Brady clears it up soon. An iconic image. Brady has walked the tunnel for 20 years, the same team, just like Bryant did 20 years with the NBA with the same team. Maybe Brady liked the symmetry in numbers and image. If you believe that scenario, like I am inclined to, consider how reaction to Brady's tweet would be different if he had simply included a few words along with a picture thinking of you, Kobe.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not think about that at all.
People are cryptic on Twitter, man. They just don't think like the obvious person.
Well, you can't, if you're Tom Brady, you cannot just be posting pictures like this. Like, you know what people are going to do.
Dude, he's trolling. He's trolling.
You know how people are going. You're going to be a free agent. You're going to be a free agent. You know exactly what people are going to think. Like, I don't want to hear this, like, oh, he didn't, he 100% knew what he was
here's
doing.
Here's my, and you're not going to like this. People take Twitter like it is like the rote Bible script for life, and it is ridiculous. People need to move beyond it and think for a second. I do this. Like, I don't take it seriously. I like things that people hate about me. I retweet things that pop off at me. I think he just views it differently than some people.
Well,
so I can actually see him actually making a tribute without writing the words.
Well, I feel like if it was a tribute to Kobe Bryant, you would say some. You would
here's
say
to you,
you
number
would say
eight.
Some words.
Some people
you would say
are more
some
cryptic.
Words.
He's being.
Well, if that was a tribute, it was a bad tribute.
It was a bad tribute.
It was one of the worst tributes because nobody knows who it's for.
It's exactly right.
Nobody knows who this tribute's supposed to be directed to. You know, I would at least, if I was going to pay tribute to somebody, I would at least say I'm paying tribute to this person.
I get you.
Okay.
Maybe he's not he's not a radio guy. He's a football guy.
But, you know, Tom Brady's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. And obviously
he's
this
trolling.
This throws the NFL media into a frenzy. You know, does this mean he's leaving for sure? Where is he going? Obviously, I think the number one destination would 100% be Vegas. He did buy some real estate in Nevada. That's out there. You guys can find it for yourself. I mean, you think I'm just making this crap up. You guys can go Google this information. It's out there readily available for you. Why would he buy real estate in Nevada?
What property did he buy in Las Vegas? Do we know?
He actually purchased the Mirage.
He bought a hotel.
He bought the entire
Mirage. Volcano hotel.
He bought some property in Nevada. Why would anybody do that if they didn't plan on living in Nevada? Why would you want to live in Nevada? There's a million different places you could live. I wouldn't want to live
party
in Nevada.
Party crib?
I wouldn't want to live in Nevada. I would like to live
a party in, crash crib.
I would like to have like maybe a rental, but not a place that I buy and like live in. I'd like to live in California, maybe Hawaii. Florida would be certainly a nice place. A little cliche, right, for, you know, a white man to move to Florida in his old age. But, like, you know, that happens in this life. So, I don't know. Does it mean he's leaving New England? Does it mean he's staying? I don't know. At any rate, it was a cryptic post no matter what. And I obviously think it can only mean one thing, which is that he's already let John Gruden know he's going to play for the Raiders next season. And it should be a very fun time. All right, when we come back, Sean Salisbury's in Miami. We will talk to him about the Super Bowl, about this picture, Tom Brady's future, Lots to get to with him. He's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here at James Gattis Jewelers, we're not only here for special occasions, we're your every occasion jewelry store. Hi, this is James Gattis, inviting you to shop with us when you're looking for diamonds, bridal, engagement rings, or anniversary gifts. That's our specialty. You can also depend on us to find something special for any occasion. We have an extensive selection of gemstones, pearls, watches, and designer jewelry. And we create custom design pieces as well. We want to be your family's jewelry store. James Gattis Jewelers, Poplar and Mendenhall.
20 ribeyes for $30 at three locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon-wrapped fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. Three locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Broadcasters come into our lives on radio and TV, bringing us information and entertainment. Broadcasters are there for us, but who is there for them when they fall on hard times? The Broadcasters Foundation of America provides financial assistance to broadcasters in acute need due to a critical illness, accident, or other serious misfortune. If you know of a broadcaster on the air or behind the scenes who may need our help, please share our message. Visit broadcastersfoundation.org.
New year, new budgets. Every small business has unique needs. When you partner with a Dell Small Business Technology Advisor, you get real-time, tailored advice. They'll even give you a free audit on your servers and storage devices to develop a custom solution to help improve your company's productivity. Plus, right now, upgrade to Windows 10 and get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. To speak with a Dell Advisor, call 877-BY-DELL. That's 877-BY-DELL.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Sean Salisbury is the man. He's the host of the Sean Salisbury Show in Houston, Sports Talk 790. He's in Miami for a pretty big game that is happening on Sunday, and he joins us now. Hey, Sean, what's happening, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be on with you, buddy. How are you?
Man, everything is good here in Memphis. What's the I've never been to the Super Bowl. I've never covered the Super Bowl. Who knows if I ever will. I have big dreams, but don't know if I'll ever get there. What's the media experience like down there?
This is, heck, what's it been for me, 20? I've been a lot of them. You know, and they're always, for me, the best thing about it is the reunion when I see my friends, you know, getting to see guys that I've worked with or teammates and, you know, just see their families if you see them out and if you see them at Media Row. It's good. There's a lot of space. The convention center is obviously nice. It's been, the weather's been beautiful here. But for the media, it's great. You know, people are selling products, so you get them on, but once you get by that, you get a lot of good hardcore football, a lot of fun laughter and stories, and it's been a good week, and, you know, it started off, and much of the talk wasn't the Super Bowl. It was the Kobe Bryant situation, and it should have been, and it will continue because his impact was felt far and wide, and the loss of him and eight others, including his daughter, is far more important, you know, obviously than a game, but to these players – now, even though that they were affected, these guys grew up watching Kobe. These athletes here, Kobe was their guy. And so, and hoops, and that's who they grew up watching. And they've got to find a way to obviously put that aside as well and get ready for a game, and at least temporary. And then you go back, and we'll continue to mourn Kobe and the loss of his daughter and the seven others. So I think that put a little bit of a, I don't know, somber, humbling perspective, you know, your melancholy, all those things. But you still have to, you know, you roll into the week and you talk football. And probably yesterday, and I've been here since last Friday, yesterday and Thursday, I mean Wednesday and Thursday, rolled into where it started to get heavy Thursday into football. And I think people have shifted into, well, I heard, you know, Mike and Wingo and Golick were talking behind us there. I could hear them talking on their set about Kobe. So we're going to talk about this for a long time. And quite frankly, 25 years from now, we'll be quoting Kobe Bryant and some of the things he did and watching highlights. And it was okay. We needed to mourn and still do. And now these players and us, you know, focus on football. It's the biggest game of these guys' life. Some of them will never see a Super Bowl again. They will never be in a Super Bowl again. Dan Marino told me years ago, after the 1984 Super Bowl, and then all these years I've known him, I thought I was going to a bunch more, and he never got back. So cherish it because it's important, and this will be fun to watch on Sunday.
No, you're exactly right, and I think you're right. I think everything that happened on Sunday certainly did cast a bit of a pall over everything, not just the Super Bowl, but I think anybody that's ever watched Kobe, anybody that's ever cared about the sport of basketball or, you know, has a family, I mean, I think we can all relate to that. On this game specifically, Sean, you know, it felt like last year, right? Like it was a great anticipation, right? Like a great sort of lead up and a great sort of build up to the Super Bowl last year. You had Sean McVay, sort of the new kids on the block, and the Rams versus, you know, the Patriots, who are here every single year. This is what they do. The game did not meet the build up. It was not a very good game. And then this year, for maybe it's a variety of different reasons, it's felt like maybe the storylines haven't been as good. But do you think this is the kind of year where the game is going to be better than the build up to it?
Yeah, and I think last year, you know, I mean, you start to think about Super Bowls previous, the Eagles and the Patriots and the Falcons. We've had some dramatic finishes, and it seems like the name of the Patriots, the fact that they're not here makes it interesting for a lot of people because, well, we're not talking about the Patriots yet. They're so fun to watch because everybody likes the villain that people are chasing after. But, you know, while the storylines may not be as popular as the Brady and the Belichick and the Patriots, there's still a lot of branches to this game, man. I mean, we're talking old school Kyle Shanahan, who's younger, and new school Andy Reid, who's older. They've both been in Super Bowls and both, you know, have made some mistakes in those games. One as a coordinator, one as a head coach. So I'm sure they'd like to have back. And that experience they can draw upon. We got a quarterback who's got two Super Bowl rings, but hasn't played in the Super Bowl, but watched how they prepared and how Brady prepared. And then we've got one who hasn't been in, but he's the best quarterback in the league in Mahomes. So, and then you've got pass rushers and you've got a great running game, formations galore and personnel groupings. You've got a quarterback that they can throw 42 times and that'll be in rhythm. That's just normal for them. And Jimmy G's got a chances, you know, with the Mahomes. Talk about somebody who outweighs everything. When you talk about quarterbacks, nobody gets any credit because Patrick is so good. So I think it may not be sexy because it's not some East Coast team. Mm-hmm. It's the 49ers who've struggled and they're not. People are still questioning, are they this historic franchise? I know they were there with Colin Kaepernick and the Harbaughs playing against each other, but, you know, it's been a while and we're back at it with them. And then you get Kansas City, who is great fan base, one of the best in the league, but we don't, you know, the Giants aren't in it, the Patriots, the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Rams. I mean, so there are some different angles to it, but the truth is we have two contrasts. You know, this is the contrast between these two teams is amazing. And we've got great football players. I actually think it's going to be exceed the hype, but I think we're in for a dramatic finish because I don't see a blowout. I just think the 49ers defense is too good to get blown out, and I think the Kansas City offense is too good to even if the 49ers go up. I think Mahomes is capable of throwing you back into any game. So I think we're in for some really, really special football on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned it. I definitely do think the interesting sort of layer to this game is what San Francisco and how they will respond offensively. We've seen them, you know, we've seen Jimmy G, if he's asked to do it, we've seen him, you know, put up big numbers. We've seen him, you know, lead that offense. You think about that game against the Saints. If they call on him and if they we know they want to run the ball. We know they want to establish that. But if the 49ers call on him and they need him, you know, to make a play to win the game, can he do it?
They're going to. And, yeah, he can. They're going to need him. Now, we never know. We could say the same thing. Well, can Patrick Mahomes? Or we've seen him. Have we seen him in Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah.
I was talking to Terrell Davis today. And most guys will tell you this. I talked to him today. Aikman was talking about it to me a handful of years ago on his first Super Bowl. TD said, you know, Sean, until I walked out on the field that day, everything was normal. And then I walked out there and I started hyperventilating. He told me that this morning. He said it was different. He goes, you can tell me all you want. It's just another game. He goes, it's not. And I had to talk myself into It's still 100 yards long. There's still 11 players on defense. And he said it was he was miserable before he could talk himself into it. Guy, let me tell you something. Somebody's going to choke in this game, and somebody's going to rise to the occasion. So while we look at Patrick's talent and say, of course he can make these plays, can he? Have you, well, he did it in the playoffs. Have we seen him in a Super Bowl? It's different. And, of course, we all think he can, but we still got a question. I mean, we haven't seen him in a Super Bowl yet. Well, Jared Goff was really, really good leading up, had an awesome year, Pro Bowl year. He wasn't real good in the Super Bowl. Not saying that Jared Goff's Patrick Mahomes, but he had a Pro Bowl year, and Mahomes is different. But this is still a different thing, and I think Patrick's personality can handle it. With Jimmy, why not him? Hell, if we're talking about experience, hasn't he seen the best quarterback in the world prepare for two Super Bowls with his ring? So he knows what goes into this week. He's been on the sidelines as a backup quarterback for these. Now you got to perform. So look at his top five completion percentage, top 5 yards per attempt, top 5 touchdown passes. Inside of 7 points, he's as solid a quarterback as there is in the league. We saw him in a shootout against the Saints. Now, do I think Jimmy wants to throw it 45 times to the 49ers? No. But do I think if it's 21-21 and they need a drive to go score with mix-in play action and throw it, do I think he can go 22 or 32 and win? Sure, I do. But we still got to see how guys handle their nerves. I'm talking about on both teams and deal with the choke factor and the hyperventilation that sets in on Super Bowls. But the Chiefs, Mahomes has to be the MVP for them to win. He just does. If they win, he will be the MVP. If he's not the MVP, they're not winning. On the other side, Jimmy could be. George Kittle could be. Mostert could be. Hell, Bosa could come up with 2.5 sacks, right? He could be the MVP. So they can go 21 of 31 or 17 of 27 for 220 yards throwing and a touchdown and no picks, Aikman-like in Super Bowls, and win. But Pat's got to throw it. Pat's got to evade some rush, and Pat's got to make big plays, and I think he will. I think you're in for a surprise. I think if Jimmy G wasn't going against Patrick, if he was going against a Goff or somebody else, and I think he'd be getting far more talked about. But they don't have to have him be special to win. They just have him to be solid, yet I think he's capable of special. With Pat, if Pat plays average, the Kansas City Chiefs are not winning this game.
You know, Sean, we live, as you know, in a very short-sighted society, and I'm a little worried for the Chiefs, and specifically Andy Reid, if they lose this game, because for whatever reason, people view it, and I know that it has happened before. Andy Reid has gotten into big moments, and they have fallen short. But the guy is a hell of a football coach. I mean, he won a Super Bowl as an assistant. You know, he has a 500 record in the playoffs, and that's tough to do. Do you worry about what people will say about Andy Reid if they get, even though they've gotten here and, you know, he's a great coach, if they lose this game? I feel like it will the narrative on Andy Reid will not be fair to him if they lose this game.
Kind of unfair already. I do. And he's one of my I got a special place for him. He's one of my favorite people of all time. And I've known Andy, hell, what is it? Probably 35 years, 30 plus years as his assistant. And he's one of the finest humans you'll meet. And that's why Andy Reid's not worried about the narrative about him. I can promise you the last thing on his mind is when he comes into this game thinking, man, what if we don't win? What are they going to say about me? Listen, he's been through the loss of a child. He's been through losing in a Super Bowl. He's been through some tough times. He's a strong faith guy, too. He is. And he's a guy who trusts his team and trusts what he does, and he's going to do what he does. And if he doesn't win, guess what he'll do? He'll come back next year and tee it up again. But so of course they'll be harsh on him, especially if the optics how they lose, some of it has to do with missing a call he should have made or using a timeout wrong. But this is as like the coaches there is in this league by people. And he's a Hall of Fame coach. I'm telling you, right today he is. Now, the stamp of validation, you know, because we always want that Super Bowl trophy and that ring. And if he gets that as a head coach, he's the best coach never to win a Super Bowl right now. He just is. And I think he's going to do it. But you're right. People will be harsh and the narrative will exist. Hell, if Kyle loses, even though he's young and his infancy as a head coach, they'll go to him and say, man, offensive coordinator, you didn't do it right at the end of the Falcons game, up 28-3. Head coach, what happened? You've done this all year long, and now this? So the choke factor does exist for coaches and players, but I don't believe either coach is going to be the reason they lose this game. Now, they may be the reason they win. I don't think either coach is going to go in where they make 4 or 5 decisions and say, what is he doing? I think they're both prepared for it, but I think Andy's going to change the narrative on him too. And it's amazing how one game, if somebody makes a good play, all of a sudden Andy became a good coach. No, he's been a good coach.
Right.
And I think that his experiences, he's been in like 26 playoff games as a head coach.
Yep.
So
yep.
This won't be new to him, and Andy Reid will approach it. But he put it this way, he can shoulder any punishment that people or verbal punishment people give him if he loses. I don't think he's going to lose this game.
We are, of course, talking to the great Sean Salisbury. You can catch him in Houston. He's down there in Miami for the Super Bowl. Sean, you mentioned it to start our segment here. It's hard to get to the Super Bowl, and there are guys who make the Super Bowl. Dan Marino made one Super Bowl his whole career. Probably thought he was going to make 5, 6, 10 more, only went to one. But when you sort of chart out the future of the NFL, like, it feels like this is just one of many for Patrick Mahomes, because you're not worried about anybody in that division, and we're both Raiders fans, but you're not worried about the Raiders. You're not really worried about the Chargers or the Broncos in that division, so they'll probably run the AFC West for the foreseeable future. At some point, Tom Brady is going to retire or leave the Patriots. Who knows? It feels like this could be the first of many for Patrick Mahomes. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it would be this. You know, we always say shocking things. Well, how does a guy miss a field goal, or how can that guy miss this, or how does this guy do this, or how did this coach call this? I'd be hard pressed if this was his only Super Bowl, judging from what he's done and how good he is the best quarterback in the league right now, and I don't hesitate to say it. We got some good ones, man.
Mm-hmm.
Aging veterans, middle of the road guys, and some really good youngs. There's no NFL general manager or head coach, no matter what he says to in public, to the media. Every single one of them would start their team with Mahomes if they had the choice. Every one of them.
Yep.
So this, I would be shocked. Now, how many you win? It's like LeBron. He's been to a lot and lost some, and he's won some. So this is a uniquely talented, humble, and Lee Steinberg told me the other day, the reason after the MVP season we didn't get into doing all these commercials and national commercials and endorsements is because we wanted his teammates to feel comfortable. We wanted them to know that football mattered first, and the kid has just stayed grounded, and he's been around a pro baseball player, his dad, for a long time. He gets it. So, yeah, I listen, man, he could roll off 3 in a row. That's how good he is. So good, you think the 49ers are really the better team, but he's the great equalizer, man. He is. He's Denzel Washington in the movie. Just, you know what? Oh, you did this? Well, here's how I'm going to show you how I'm going to get equal to you. I'll throw 3 touchdowns. He's the fast death. When his venom hits you, it's like in about 8 seconds, you're like, whoa, they just threw 3 touchdown passes in the second quarter. And that's what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. I'll be shocked if this is his only appearance. I'll be shocked if we're not talking about multiple opportunities. And I got news for you. The MVP train isn't stopping here for just one from last year either. The dude is a phenomenal person and as good a quarterback in 2 years a starter and 3 years in the league that we've ever had. Danny Marino is the only one that compares to put up the numbers and do the things and flash like he has that quickly. And Danny went on to an unbelievable career, and so will Mahomes.
Yeah, no, I hate to say it as a Raiders fan, but I completely agree with you. And then I have to ask you about Tom Brady, because he posts a picture on his Twitter account. He's walking out of the tunnel of Gillette. Now, I know some people are saying that's a tribute to Kobe. Some people are saying that he's dropping hints. Not necessarily asking you to read into that picture in and of itself, but do you think that he's gone? I mean, do you think that he's going to start over somewhere else that's not New England?
You know, and there's some who think that picture thinks he's walking into the stadium. Or maybe it's just Tom. What a great troll job, though. It's a classic by Brady.
It is.
Friday before the Super Bowl, the GOAT decides to post and we've seen LeBron at times do something like that, a little passive-aggressive, post a pic that says, well, I'm not in the Super Bowl, but you guys aren't going to forget about me on a Friday that I should be in Miami. So, you know what? I'm hard-pressed to believe that he's going to leave New England. I am. But I also know that some guys love a different challenge. Maybe with Philip gone and they're going to draft a quarterback, maybe Tom wants to go to L.A. and second phase of his life, the challenge of chasing Mahomes or with the Raiders and being in that division and being in California, maybe. I don't know. It'll be weird for me to see him in powder blue. But, hell, I would have told you Philip Rivers was never leaving.
Yep.
He's going to play somewhere else more than likely. I don't know what the picture meant. I really don't. I don't know what the picture meant, but I do know this. That I'm sure he's mulling it over, and his decision is going to be made quickly. I don't want to see him in another uniform, but if I do, I'm telling you now, where he goes, he's not going to a team that's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if he ended up in Tennessee, the Chargers, because right now the Chargers' offensive roster is better than the Patriots.
Yep.
Tom's not going anywhere where he says we're 5-11 and or 5-11 or 6-10. That's the way you're going to remember it. If he does leave New England, he's going to some place that gives him a chance to win. If he stays in New England, that'll mean they're going to go get him some weapons on offense. Maybe they can talk Gronk out of retirement, and he's going to give a 2-year run with McDaniels and Belichick and say, I'm getting back to this sucker at 43 or 44 years old. But my gut says stay, but you know what? It's an intriguing possibility that you say, Brady, number 12 in Los Angeles, playing for the Chargers, or opening up Vegas just to say, I'm going to do something different. We'll see. And he's never been the highest paid player in the league. And the truth is, with his resume, he should be making $50 million a year. He should. That's just the facts, because what he's produced in football, but that doesn't make up for a real good team when you make that much money. I'm anxious to see. I wish I knew. I still think we're going to see him playing in New England, but I wouldn't be shocked if he entertained other ideas.
Sean, man, you're the absolute best in the business, man. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the game, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Always honored to be on with you, brother, anytime. Thank
yes, sir.
You. Enjoy the game yourself. All
yes,
right.
sir. He is Sean Salisbury. You can hear him every day, every morning in Houston. He's just one of the best. One of the best in the analyst game for my money. All right, we will come back. Got some special Super Bowl edition over-unders that we're going to get into on the other side. Then Jason Smith's going to hop on at 1 o'clock. Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Nobody else has the Jeff Calkins show. Nobody else has the Jason and John show.
Well, hello there.
John.
Nobody else has Giannotto and Jeffrey. Nobody else has the Gary Parrish show.
Be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
And nobody else has Rewind on their app, like radio.com and 92.9. Nobody else is rocking ESPN. Nobody but us.
John.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis.
Attention. If you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time, you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and save millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now, 800-762-1836. That's 800-762-1836. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-762-1836. That's 800-762-1836.
What's the best way to show someone you love them, Howie?
You get engaged.
That's
you
right.
You get down on one knee and you pop the question. And you can be sure if your ring comes from Robert Irwin Jewelers that she's going to say yes.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is the only place to get engaged.
Exactly. And we've got a ring for anybody's budget starting at around $599 and going on up. You can pick your center diamond. You can pick your mounting. You can put it all together. You can get a custom ring. But you got to do it now because Valentine's Day is coming up quick. Free financing. Bigger, brighter diamonds. Robert Irwin Jewelers. 4 locations or online at rijewelers.com.
Attention. If you're in debt to the IRS and frustrated with your options, for a limited time, you can call and quickly check your eligibility for the Fresh Start programs offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problem. Through this special toll-free hotline number, you can find out in minutes if you qualify for these powerful new debt reduction programs green-lighted by the IRS for 2019. If you have unfiled tax returns under audit, have a wage or bank levy, or just want to know your options, business or personal, Republic Tax Relief's A-plus rated tax relief system has helped thousands stop IRS collections immediately and saved millions in tax debt. These relief programs will not last forever. Call the hotline number now, 800-501-7110. That's 800-501-7110. Check your eligibility for tax debt savings today. Call 800-501-7110. That's 800-501-7110.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Super Bowl 54 is on Sunday. But in honor of the Super Bowl, let's do that over-under thing.
It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Over. Under. Under.
Okay, we go to Demi Lovato, National Anthem. 2.5 minutes for the anthem. Over, under.
Over, under.
Is it 2.5?
I'm sorry, 2 minutes.
No, it's just,
God,
it's
I gave
just,
her another half minute. Yeah, that's my, way. I'm sorry, Bar. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
2 minutes is what the number is.
Yeah, 2 minutes is what the over-under is right now for the national anthem. Demi Lovato is performing the national
Ooh.
Anthem. See, I look into this. I look into this, and I can tell you, historically, she has performed the national anthem at big-time events recently, a couple times in the last few years. She did the national anthem at the Conor McGregor Mayweather fight in 2017.
Oh.
That clocked in at 2 minutes and 12 seconds. So that would be over 2
over.
Minutes. However, game 4 of the 2015 World Series, she sang the national anthem, and it was 1 minute and 58 seconds. So, again, the average of those two times, though, would still put you at over 2 minutes. You'd still be over 2 minutes. Now, here's the deal.
This is tough.
Demi Lovato, I would sort of put in that group of a diva, right? Like, she's kind of a diva. She's not R&B, but, like, she kind of fancies herself as sort of like an R&B diva,
yeah,
right? Kind of poppy, R&B-ish, you know, diva. Like, that's kind of how I view her. That being the case, I would absolutely put my mortgage on the over. She is not the kind of a, like, I can see her, like, hanging on brave. She's going to probably say it again. Like, she's going to really soak this moment in. It's the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so I think, I'm very confident that she is going to go over 2 minutes on the national anthem.
I just listened to you tell me about your national anthem research on Demi Lovato. I think I'm going to place a bet this weekend on the over as well.
Now, do you know who happens to have the longest national anthem in the last 15 years?
Ooh. Is it somebody like Aretha Franklin or something? Is it a soul singer?
Kind of. It's Alicia Keys. It's Alicia Keys, who, again, a diva. I don't use that in a negative connotation.
Okay.
Like, I don't use that in a negative connotation.
She had the piano probably out there, so she got an instrument to warm up and start.
The longest in the last 15 years was Alicia Keys, 2 minutes and 35 seconds. That's a long anthem.
Wow.
I love my country, but that's a long anthem.
It's 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
You know, it's a lot of patriotism. You know what I mean?
It should. If you can't get this done in 2:20, I mean, something's probably wrong.
If you can't get it done in 2 minutes, I think something's, you know, not wrong, but I mean,
that's
I
what she
just
said.
Feel like you got to move on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to at some point move on. So anyway, I will say confidently
over.
The over on 2 minutes during the Demi Lovato national anthem.
The number of J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez is doing the halftime show, of course, right? Number of J-Lo wardrobe changes. The number is 2.5.
Over. Under.
I will go over. Jennifer Lopez is a beautiful woman.
Yes, she is.
And she is a talented performer.
Yes.
And being a beautiful woman and a talented performer at the Super Bowl, I mean, these are usually very fast-paced performances, and the stage changes. And
sure.
A lot of
pyro.
Yeah, it all sort of, it's constantly morphing, constantly evolving. And I would imagine her wardrobe will as well. So I will say, look, I don't know how many songs she's doing. She's doing 3, 4, 5 songs. I have no clue. But I'm assuming she will have a different outfit for every song she does. Like,
right.
Like, I mean, literally, I'm assuming that if she changes shoes or a shirt or, like, that's going to count as a wardrobe change.
Sure.
So I am going to feel confident here, Brad, of going over 2.5. I feel like J-Lo is, you know, if it was like a, you know, Adam Levine or something, I think all he did was take his shirt off. So that would have only classified as one wardrobe change.
Now, if she takes her shirt off, does that count as a wardrobe change or
not? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No question about it. I mean, I think any.
Without
like,
replacing it.
No, that counts as a wardrobe change malfunction or what
We've seen the malfunction before. That's why I bring it up.
We don't have to worry about that anymore. There's never going to be another wardrobe malfunction ever again at the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I will say over 2.5. I'm not as confident on this one as I am Demi Lovato going over. But I still feel pretty good about it.
How do you think, this is a side question before we get to our third and final piece in the over-unders here, but do you think that it will be a good halftime show or not? I am not so stoked about J-Lo, and I think she's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
The recent, there aren't any, like, halftime performances that really stick out in my head. The last one was Justin Timberlake did a lot of stuff, but it wasn't that terrific. He kind of got raked over the coals for doing too much and trying to honor Prince and Minnesota and stuff. How do you think it will go?
No, I think J-Lo is a universally...
She's not Beyonce.
She's not Beyonce, but she is a very successful recording artist. I mean, mm-hmm. I think people will know her songs. She looks mm-hmm. incredible for... Like, if she was 25,
she's
she
spectacular.
Look incredible. But yeah. What she's like 50, isn't she?
I think she does a lot of F-45.
Yeah, yeah. She do a lot of F-45.
She's
it shows.
Really busting it.
It
yeah.
certainly shows. Mm-hmm. But no, I will... I think it's going to be
but
a
she's
fan.
Like 45. I mean, see how old Jennifer Lopez is. I think,
she might be older than 45.
I think she is, too.
I think she's 50.
You know, A-Rod is really taking it out of her, though.
He might be.
She is 50. She's 50.
She's 50, yeah. I mean,
J-Lo is 50?
It's incredible, and she's going to kill it. Like, she's going to have an awesome halftime performance. So, no, I think you're wrong here. I think she's going to have an absolutely fantastic performance at halftime. She's universal, man. Like, you can't not love J-Lo.
No, she's very likable. You're
How can you not I could see where you don't like Maroon 5.
Yeah. Now, is this a Southern Florida feel? Because they've got, like, Shakira's doing stuff, too.
Yes,
and they've got
for
the whole,
sure.
the whole
yes.
you know, they're celebrating, whole deal.
Yes. They're celebrating, yeah. absolutely, exactly right.
Maybe A-Rod will be out there at halftime. Time too. Okay, passing yards for Patrick Mahomes to the game. 305.5 is the number.
Over. Under.
I cannot believe they're offering this. I'm honest to God.
Free money?
I cannot believe that this is the number. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind about this one. This is actually the one I feel the most confident about. So the over-under on passing yards for Patrick Mahomes in this game is 305.5. Now, if you dive into Patrick Mahomes and what he's done this year, he has topped this total. To start the year, mm-hmm. he was over that, right?
Okay.
Start the year, he was over that in each of the first five games to start the year. He's gone over it just three times in his last nine games. But a couple different things I want to point out here.
Okay.
One is he was hurt. Okay, so for a lot of those games, he was hurt. Secondly, in some of those games, he did not have Tyreek Hill. Who had like a clavicle injury or something.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill is just essential and really crucial to everything they do. Patrick Mahomes is probably as healthy as he's been since before the season started now because he's had some time off. And Tyreek Hill is healthy. The 49ers have allowed over 305 yards just four times all year. But I think they have not faced a quarterback that quite looks like Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And I also look at the 49ers run defense.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas City, not that they're just some great running team, but the 49ers have allowed just 69 yards a game on the ground in their rushing defense the last three games.
Wow.
So I say all that to say
they got
to
throw the ball.
I don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to get much going on the ground, so they're going to have to chuck the ball a lot. And Patrick Mahomes is amazing. Like he's going to make unbelievable throws, and he's going to have a lot of yards. And I think the Chiefs are probably going to win the game. And so Sean just talked about it. I mean, he thinks if the Chiefs are going to win the game, it's got to be with Patrick Mahomes as the MVP. I don't think the Super Bowl MVP is going to have fewer than 305 yards.
You also think he's the MVP?
Well, Lamar Jackson's probably. Oh, you mean the Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, Super Bowl MVP.
I think Patrick Mahomes would take as a
MVP.
And I think he's the overwhelming favorite as well. So I probably, if I was going to bet, I wouldn't bet on him because I'm not getting any value on that. Like, I'd probably bet like Raheem Mostert or something
like that.
A guy who's going to give me like plus 600 to be the Super Bowl MVP. But I believe that Patrick Mahomes is easily going to go over 305. I have zero doubt about it.
Is there any chance in hell, this is the long shot bet of the weekend, that Garoppolo wins the MVP?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he had like 360 yards against the Saints. So absolutely Jimmy G could be there.
Okay.
I mean, he is the starting quarterback for the other team.
Yeah, he is.
You know, I mean, like, so, I mean.
That already is a big thing, right?
Yeah, like, usually that's what happens. Like,
sure.
Whichever team wins, that quarterback typically does win the Super Bowl MVP award. So, no, I think there's some value there for sure. But, yeah, I got over 300.5, 305.5. I got over that for Patrick Mahomes in this game. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope that, you know, this has been a weird Super Bowl. We talked about that, like, obviously with the tragedy about Kobe. But I just think even without that tragedy, if you just take that out of the equation right now, it's still, like, it's felt like a strangely, like an eerily, I don't want to use the word boring, but, like, nothing's come out of Media Day. Like, there's not been any controversial quote. There's not some great story. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we talked about it during the break. Sunday, we were getting ready for Super Bowl week because the morning show is there, ESPN's there, we're doing reports from there, Sean Salisbury's there, and you and I were talking about it. Today feels a little different because it's been cloudy the last 4 days.
Yeah,
it just has.
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh, that's definitely.
It's all been about Kobe, and I think I think Sean's right. Like, rightfully so. Like, and it's still going to be that way.
Yeah, it definitely is. But because, I mean, he's a legend, and that's just going to take. you know, years and years to process and to get over.
I think people are looking for an outlet, though.
For sure.
You know,
and escape.
I mean,
that's sports, right, at their best. So that's probably what the Super Bowl will be on Sunday. All right, when we come back, Jason Smith is going to join us. We will talk to him. John Morant, not an all-star. We'll see if he's outraged about that. But he did get his three. He did get his three in the Rising Stars game. So we will get into all that with Jason Smith on the other side. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Data message rate supply national contest. It's new money in the new year. Every hour from 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. at the top of the hour.
How do you pay, man? If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Straight cash, homie.
Win a G, $1,000 in straight cash, homie. Money, money in 2020.
More money, more money, more money.
And right now, get a G.
Okay, we've got about a few seconds here before 1 o'clock. And you're going to text this word to 72881. The word you're going to text to 72881 is the word BOLD. B-O-L-D. Text BOLD.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.